Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, you guys. This is Good Deeds, and I'm Dr. Renee Sunday. I just thank you for being here with us on Good Deeds. You know what we do here at Good Deeds. Our mission and our purpose is to share other people's, you know, their dreams, their goals, their purpose, and, of course, their passions and their purpose in life. And we do that through so many different ways. You're here on our radio show, but we have a TV show, a newsletter, we have a whole speaking platform. We have a lot of things that we have been entrusted with, but the whole goal is we want to get your information out, because if you and your purpose, guess what? I'm in my purpose, and we are here to help each other. That's why we are here. Relationships are very, very important. We actually need people to write books, because everyone has a story. We need people to advocate for us, because sometimes we, you know, it could be several things. We may not want to say anything. We may have fear. We may, you know, just have guilt. Or we may just not even want to say anything because we don't know what the consequences. You know, sometimes we have to, you know, all the time we have to plan things before we actually execute something. So it's always good to have someone that actually can advocate for us and actually share the voice. You know, be the voice of the people that can't make that opinion or say what needs to be said for themselves. And that's what we all here on this earth for, is to help each other, to build a village, as I said earlier. And that's what we have, an awesome, awesome, awesome young man here with us today. He's an author. He's a journalist. I mean, he actually, you're going to find out that he has a great voice, that he actually is a national voiceover artist. I just love it. And he's also an HIV and AIDS advocate. You know, like I said earlier, we need people to speak. We need people to actually, you know, go to the political arena to actually get the resources and tools that we need that we can help everyone in the world, you know, because, you know, we're supposed to have our different niche, but some things we need to educate, motivate, and inspire people, impact people's lives. That's the most important thing we are here to do, right? So we want to welcome the none other than LaWayne Orlando Childress. Are you there?
Hello, Dr. Sunday. Hello.
How you doing? Thank you so much for being here with us on Good Deeds.
Oh, wow. It's such an honor to be here. I thoroughly enjoy your show, and I always look for your tweets on Facebook and Twitter, and you just inspire me so much.
Oh, that's so nice. Well, thank you. You do as well. We had to keep up with each other. That's what I love. I love it.
Exactly.
But we're not going to delay things here. Please tell us a little bit more about yourself and the things that's going on in your life.
Awesome. I'm LaWayne Childress, author of Peeling Back the Layers. I'm a Southern boy through and through. I was born and raised in Birmingham, Alabama. Went to Ketona Elementary School, Dupe Elementary School, Hayes High School, and I've also lived in Memphis, Tennessee. I graduated high school actually in Memphis, Tennessee from Hamilton High School, moved back to Birmingham, and ended up in Mississippi working as a news journalist for Mississippi Public Broadcasting.
Wow, that's amazing. Now, you know, people, ladies and gentlemen, you know I'm born and raised in Birmingham, Alabama, so you know we had to give our hoo-hoo to our peeps in Birmingham.
Right.
You know, it's a lot of history in Birmingham, right?
Exactly. You know, I was born in 1962, right during the height of the Civil Rights era, and although I don't remember a whole lot about that particular time in history, I've heard stories from my aunts, from my uncles, talking about, you know, how turbulent things were. And I have two aunts who were actually arrested during the Children's March. And my mom used to always tickle me because she was really upset that she never got arrested. But I've heard so many wonderful stories. And I think it's because of those stories that I grew up hearing is where I gained strength to eventually share my own story.
I believe that. Yeah, my dad actually was baptized in the Lake Pettus Bridge, where people go where they walk on sailboats.
Wow.
He was actually baptized in that water. So it's a lot of history down in that area, the Selma area. Yes, and he's 82. But I really believe what you're saying when you alluded to what you heard from your, you know, foreparents and you and your family, that actually gives us the strength that we can actually tell more about our story, that we actually can pen it and actually be an advocate and, of course, speak about it to help, you know, with resources and services. That's the most important. A lot of people don't know what resources that are available.
Right. You're right. And, you know, I think, you know, in my book, the foreword was written by Dr. Janice Ralia. And she started it out. She said, everyone has a story to tell and a lesson to teach. And once I read that, I was like, wow, you know, that says it all, because we do. We all have something that we can live, that we can give. I'm a firm believer that we overcome by our testimony. And that's part of my that's part of the reason that I wanted to write this book, because I had already started experiencing things that I knew other people were experiencing. And I wanted to give them hope to know that they were not in this alone. I heard you allude to this earlier, that we need to have that voice so that we will know that we're not alone. And hopefully, you know, that's what this book is accomplishing. And so far, from what I'm hearing, that's exactly what it's doing.
Yeah, that's important. I mean, you know, and not to drop names, but, you know, we Google a lot. We use Amazon and we have our Kindles. But you know what? It's a book on there, or in Google when you search. You will find a book that actually will help the situation that you're in, because everyone – like you said, LaWayne, wants to be heard. But a lot of times we do feel alone, so we actually need you to actually speak for us. We need you to actually put it in pen and paper. We need you to actually speak for us so we can say, like you said so wonderfully, that we're not alone and we can walk through the journey together by actually reading your material, and we can find solutions that we actually can enjoy life.
You know, I'm so grateful that Peeling Back the Layers, which is my book, A Story of Trauma, Grace, and Triumph, is really a true account of the human condition. You know, in this book, I ask the question, how does a troubled, black, gay youth from the Deep South grow up to become one of the most respected news journalists in the country? And I only say that because I've won more than a dozen Associated Press News Awards and the Edward R. Murrow Award for Journalistic Excellence. But, you know, most people say it takes a considerable amount of talent, hard work, determination. But for me, it also included an immense struggle through a deep sea of adversities, including childhood sexual abuse, a crack cocaine addiction, and an HIV diagnosis. And so that's what my story is about, you know, how the way that, you know, God saw me through all of those things. And even though I had landed in the pig pen, okay, God saw fit to bring me out of that. And he always had a plan for my life. I didn't understand it. I had to go through a whole lot of things to get to that point where I finally realized my purpose in life. And for me, that's speaking his word. You know, and his word through my book. What I have found is that it is truly blessing people in so many ways. You know, even though people may not have the same issues that I've had to deal with, what it does is helps people to put their own lives into perspective. And so, you know, when I'm talking about the sexual abuse issue, you know, and even when I'm in an engagement somewhere speaking, I always get people coming up to me saying, thank you so much for telling my story, for giving my family hope. Because what I'm finding is that, you know, we suffer in silence. And for me, you know, even dealing with this one issue of childhood sexual abuse, I didn't know what had happened to me until I heard Oprah Winfrey talking about what happened to her. And I'm like, wow, that's what happened to me. Because I had carried this guilt and this shame around for years and years and years, thinking that it was my fault, thinking that it was something that I did wrong. And I was so afraid to talk about it, but hearing her talk about it helped me. And so that's what this book is doing for other people too.
Yeah, I totally I believe that. Because, you know, this is what some people think, I chuckle a little bit in saying this. They think, okay, we're going to pop out of mommy, and then we're going to end up having a flawless life, and we're not going to go through things, we're not going to have things in our journey. But that's not how it is. You know, the earth, and you know, the earth has a lot of good and bad, and you know, we have to go through ups and downs, like you're saying, to get to our purpose in life. So can you speak on that? You alluded to it a little bit, but you know, when people are listening to you speak, and we've had a conversations, you know, like you said, your situation may not be like my situation, but let me tell you what's common to it. We don't feel right. We feel like it's our fault, and we feel like we can't move forward. We feel like we're stuck. I guess that's a good word of saying that.
Yeah, you're exactly right, because that's exactly where I was. I kind of felt like I was in a downward spiral, you know. I've always suffered from depression. I mean, let me tell you a little bit about my story. When I was 4 years old, I survived the deadly house fire that I watched my two-year-old cousin die in. Right after that, between the ages of, say, kindergarten and second grade, I was repeatedly sexually abused by my stepfather and even forced to watch my mother being beaten by the same man. And so by the time I reached my early teens, I had experienced more trauma in life than the average adult will ever experience in their entire lifetime. And so all of my life, basically, I had this low-grade level of depression and anxiety that was always there. And I always knew that there was something different about me. I always had a certain sadness about myself, but I didn't know what it was. And so that unaddressed childhood trauma eventually caught up with me. Well, it started even before I became an adult, because even as a child, I was self-medicating because of all this trauma that I had experienced. But my way of medicating then was through food. You know, my mama would have to drag me from store to store trying to find an 18 Husky just to fit me in. And I remember her telling me, Wayne, baby, you're going to have to lose weight. Otherwise, we're not going to be able to find you any clothes, you know. 10 years old, 18 Husky, you know, that's a big boy. So what she would do would buy up every 18 Husky she could find, you know, because they were just that scarce. And so I started self-medicating early, and I had these feelings of guilt and shame that I didn't really recognize them until all of this pressure built up to the point where I exploded. And what caused that trigger was, there were so many things going on in my life at that time. My mom had suffered cancer. She had lung cancer, and a week later, it had spread to her brain, and she had to have that removed, and it was removed successfully. And then after that, she started having these series of strokes. And then during that time, I was diagnosed with HIV. And then I was in a really, really abusive relationship. And I had all of these things going on. And so I started reaching out, trying to find comfort here and there. And I ended up in a crack house. And it was there in that crack house. You know, you hear everybody say everybody has their own bottom. Well, for me, ending up in that crack house, and I was in an active addiction for about 9 months, but ending up there sent me to therapy, emotional therapy. But I remember even before getting to therapy, I had a conversation with God. And even when I was in the crack house, I was always praying, Lord, deliver me. Lord, take this from me. Lord, save me. And I remember asking him this, you know, because I grew up in the church. And I remember asking him, Lord, people are always talking about try God. He can work it out. Well, if you can do all they say you can do, I need you to come to my rescue now. And when I prayed that prayer, God delivered me instantly from the addiction of crack cocaine. Although I still needed to go into this intensive therapy, because for me, I needed to know the root causes of all of these problems that I had started to have. And that's when I was able to connect the dots from these traumatic events that happened in my childhood, like the sexual abuse. I have abandonment issues from my childhood. There's just a long list of things. And I learned those things through therapy on what's called a life timeline. I was able to write out all of these things. It's like take a butcher block of paper, you draw a horizontal line down the center of that paper, and then you divide it up into 10-year intervals. At the top of the line, you put all the great things that happened to you in that first 10 years of life. At the bottom, you put all the negative things that you remember about that first 10 years of life. And then you repeat that, the second 10 years, the 13 years, and on and on. And once I finished that timeline, the bottom crowded. It had way more than the top, you know, even though some wonderful things that happened in my life, but that bottom timeline was crowded. And I was like, wow. So this is how I came from this place to this place. Mm-hmm. Lord, the only person that can turn this around is you. And it was from that point that after I had been through therapy, I started asking God, what is my purpose in life? What is it that you want me to do? Because, you know, at that point, I felt like he had done so much for me, you know, delivering me from this addiction of crack cocaine. And allowing my life to get back on track and allowing me to have a second chance. And I wanted to give back to him. And I remember him telling me, I want you to speak my word. And I told him, I'll speak your word, Lord. And from that point, he allowed me to go back to school. But, you know, it's interesting how he allowed me to go back to school. I told you I was diagnosed with HIV in my early 20s. After going through that situation with my mom, through all of her sickness and this, and then I was working on a major project for my church at that time, and I was under an enormous amount of stress, and I was in a bad relationship, and I had reached a point where my T-cell count had reached 3. Now, when your T-cell count reaches 3, you are well within the death zone. You know, as a matter of fact, I should have been dead at that point. But God saw fit to allow me to go into the hospital and the doctors to find the right drug treatment for me that would work. And I'm so grateful to say that even to this day, I'm undetectable, which means the amount of virus in my system is so low that I'm probably just as healthy as anybody that's listening to this program. But it was at that point that God allowed me to go back to school. You know, when I came off of work, I was working for a bank, and when I came off of work on disability, I didn't want to just sit around. I wanted to do something. I wanted to give back. And the only way that I knew that I could give back, and at that point, I knew I had a story to tell, okay? Because, listen, he had brought me through all of this stuff, including bringing me back from the brink of death with HIV, I knew I had a story to tell. And so I remember in the doctor's office, he asked, he said, well, you know, they brought me back around. I was feeling better. And he said, are you ready to go back to work? I said, I can't go back to work. And he was like, why? Well, I remember the last night that I worked at the bank, you know, like I told you, I had AIDS at that point, and I looked the part of an AIDS victim. I was skin and bones. I had this nervous shake. You know, I just looked the part. He said, well, what do you want to do? I said, well, I'll go back to school. He said, well, what are you going to study? I said, I'll study broadcast journalism. He said, well, good for you. And I always wanted to be a news journalist since I was in the third grade. That was my goal. I was going to be Walter Cronkite. In fact, in Birmingham, I wanted to be the first. I wanted to be the first black anchor on. At that time, it was WBRC6. it was the ABC affiliate. I wanted to be the first black anchor on that station. You know, it didn't work. I know Art Franklin beat me to it, but anyway, that was my goal.
Well, you know Art Franklin back. He's back in Birmingham.
Exactly. Yeah. He's on the CBS affiliate. Yeah, I'm so happy for him. When I went back to school, God was preparing me then to tell my own story. You know, I went to school, and even in going back to school, Dr. Sunday, I'm going to tell you how good God is. Even in going back to school, when I tried to enroll in school, they told me that I had reneged on my Pell Grant years ago, because when I first graduated from high school, I went to UAB, played around big time, you know, and just screwed up my Pell Grant. And so this time I went to a community college. I went to Jefferson State Community College in Birmingham. And when I tried to enroll, they told me, no, bro, you reneged on your Pell Grant, so you'll need to pay your own way or you can get a loan. And so I didn't have the money to pay my way, so I opted for the loan. And I got the loan, and I went into school, and I made all A's that first semester. And had a good relationship with my director of communications. We had a great relationship because he was familiar with my work as a voiceover artist then. And so we bonded. The second semester, I started school, and I had to withdraw because I got sick again. Some of the medicines were a little bit too toxic for me. My body couldn't handle them, and so I had to withdraw. Well, the next semester comes around, and I try to re-enroll, and they tell me, no, you reneged on your student loan. You'll need to pay that student loan off before you can enroll again, or you can just pay your tuition, you know, out of your pocket. And I couldn't afford that. And so I went to my advisor and told him exactly what was happening with me. I told him about my health situation. I told him all of those things. And he told me, he said, well, how are you now? I said, well, I'm much better now. I'm still a little weak, but I'm much better. He said, well, I'll give you a scholarship. And so I went to school the rest of the time on a full scholarship. And I think it's because I had the audacity to just open my mouth and say what was going on with me. And God showed compassion and blessed me with that scholarship. And not only did I get a scholarship from the communications department, I also got a scholarship for being part of the forensic speech team at Jeff State, too. And so that led, you know, after school, I graduated with honors. That led to a terrific job in Jackson, Mississippi. Now, listen, I'm 40 years old at this this time. You know, when I went back to college, I was 40 years old. And it took me about 3 years to get through school because I wanted to pace myself, you know, 3 years to get through community college because I still had these issues that I was dealing with and I didn't want to overstress myself. And when I got out of school, it took me about a year to find a job. And I had basically gotten to the point where I said, you know what, I'm giving up. Evidently, this is not for me. And God spoke to me and he said, I want you to go to your computer one more time. And listen, I'm not exaggerating. You know, this is what I heard him say. I want you to go back to your computer one more time. And when I did that, I ended up on a site that I don't know how I got to, but there was a job posted for Mississippi Public Broadcasting. They were looking for an arts reporter. Okay. And so I applied. Maybe a week went by and I got a phone call from them inviting me over for an interview. I went over, had the interview with them. During the interview, the director of human relations is sitting in on the interview, and he asked me, he said, what are your long-term goals? I said, well, I'd like to eventually become a news anchor. You got to meet Teresa. Teresa was the director of the news department at MPB. He said, you've got to meet Teresa. So after the interview concluded, we walked around to her office. I met her, gave her my demo tape and my resume, and we kind of toured the facility. And then, you know, we said our goodbyes, and I came on back to Birmingham. And just as I was walking up the steps to my house in Birmingham, and I grew up in Woodlawn, as soon as I reached the porch, my phone was ringing, my cell phone was ringing, and it was Teresa on the other line. And she said, LaWayne, I have reviewed your tape, and I think that we can work together in some kind of way. She said, I'd love for you to come back down for an interview. However, the job that you interviewed for is not the one that I want to interview you for. I want to interview you for a position hosting All Things Considered. No, hosting Morning Edition. And I said, sure. You know, so we set up the interview. I went back down for another interview, and I absolutely blew it. I blew the interview. They were asking me basic questions like, you know, what are the call letters for the NPR affiliate in Birmingham? And I didn't know the call letters. I listened to the station, but I just knew it was on the end of the dial. You know, I didn't know those simple questions that I should have known. And so I didn't get that job. Well, you know, I was disappointed and came back home, and a month had passed, and something told me, you know, and I always call it that little voice. That little voice told me again, give Teresa, send her an email thanking her and asking her to remember you if anything else comes along. I sent the email. 5 minutes later, I was getting a call back from her, and she said, LaWayne, we had to fill the position with someone who had more experience than you, but I think that you'll be perfect for this reporter's position that I have available. Would you be interested? Yes. Yes, I would be interested. Exactly. You know, because I thought, you know, listen, my first time as a reporter, and I could have gone to school to be whatever I wanted to be at that point, but I always wanted to be that reporter since third grade. And I actually knew that if I became a reporter, it would give me the legitimacy for me to eventually tell my own story and have people to listen. And so I said, yes, I will definitely, you know, would love to have the job. And so I ended up with the job, went to Mississippi, had to leave my mother behind, and eventually had to end up putting her in a nursing home. But God worked it out where that first year that I was there, we had a woman to come in and stay with her, and that was just chaotic. And my mom and I would always talk about because remember, we were both sick at the same time. We would always talk mm-hmm. about, you know, mm-hmm. because I'm an only child, we would always say, well, whoever gets sick first, we'll put them in a nursing home, you know. And we never
yeah.
really
uh-huh.
wanted that. We never really wanted that to happen.
Right.
And so when the time, and so when I had to leave and go to Mississippi, my mom was at the point where she really needed someone to be there with her. And she
right.
really needed
right.
around the clock care. But, you know, we were still trying to, you know, not have to put her in a nursing home. And so we brought a lady in to stay with her. And so when I did move
powerful.
To Mississippi, yeah, and so and God worked it out just that way, you know, that there was somebody.
You know,
there.
Like the old people. Sure. You know how the
mm-hmm.
old people say what the old people say, but God.
But
he
God,
always
yeah.
make a way to get these.
Yeah.
You know, you just have a powerful. Oh my God, powerful story. And you know, time goes by so quickly here, and you know the audience is so excited. They just say, wait a minute, this man is so powerful. I just love your spirit. I love that. You know, the thing that I want to say is from childhood, when you had those dreams about being something, you see what happened. It came to pass in this life. But, you know,
yes.
we got to go through some ups and downs.
Yes.
But we want
yes.
you to please give us your contact information so we can support you on social media and how we can actually book you for different speaking events and, of course, get your publication.
Oh, wow. Thank you so much. The book, Peeling Back the Layers, A Story of Trauma, Grace, and Triumph, is available in any major bookstore. Even if it's not on their shelves at the bookstore that you go to, they can order it for you. Of course, you can order it online through any of the major book retailers. You can order an autographed copy from me personally by connecting with me through my Gmail account, and that's on my website, LuanneChildry.com, and there's a contact button. You can message me, and we can work something out where you can use your PayPal or you can use Square. You can connect with me through Facebook, LuanneOrlandoChildry.com, or LuanneChildryAuthor. I'm also on Twitter at L. Childry, and I'm also on Instagram at Luanne Childry. So that's a lot to remember. If you just Google Luanne Childry, a whole lot of stuff pops up, and you'll be able to contact me that way. I'm really thankful that this book has gone on to receive critical acclaim from Hollywood, really big time producer Joel Eisenberg, who is well known for independent filmmaking, has fully embraced this book and wants to see it become a screenplay. The Colorado Independent Publishers Association named it as one of the top six autobiographies of 2015. And this book is about to go into a second edition. I was recently picked up by a traditional publishing house, and they're looking to stock it on all the library shelves in a hardcover and all the bookstores in a hardcover. And I'm really excited about that. I'm always available. I speak to small groups, big groups. It doesn't matter the size. I'll actually be in Atlanta this week. Thursday, I'll be speaking to a group called PAWS Vets USA International. It's going to be at Absolute Care on Peachtree Street. And I know there are a million Peachtree Streets in Atlanta, but it's open to the public. I'll be there, and I'll also have books with me there. So there are a million ways to contact me. And I really welcome people to contact me. Yeah. Renee, thank you
wow.
so
well,
much.
Wow, thank you so much. You just was amazing as always. We just thank you. If you need us here for good deeds or myself personally, you know, please don't hesitate to give us a buzz, a shout, or whatever's most convenient for you.
Renee, I absolutely love you and appreciate the work that you're doing, and thank you so much for having me on.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Ooh, you guys, we had another powerful session. You know, shout out to our premium sponsor, Mr. John Schamberger at Millionaires in Training, owner and owner. We have all levels of sponsorships, advertising, everything you may need. All of it's on our website, which is www.reneesunday.com. If you want to be a guest, that information is there as well. We love you, love you, love you. And next time, be here and share with your friends. This is Good Deeds, and I'm Dr. Renee Sunday. See you next time. Bye-bye.